SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on Sports Grid. This is hour number two of the early line on this Wednesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We've lined up some target player props going into week 18. Probably could have done an hour on this with all of the question marks that are going to be around these players and be around these numbers. We just naturally in hour one talked about what will they do with a Derrick Henry number. If they say, all right, he's going to play 50 and a half, 30 and a half, 110 and a half, like we expect from Derrick Henry's, all of that will be really, really interesting to watch play out. But it's funny, Donnie, because Henry was going to run away with a rushing crown. Ultimately, the crown was clearly won, guys, you know, pretty early on after the Henry injury. That was Jonathan Taylor. You're looking at his numbers going into week 18.
I am looking at these numbers here. Now, also, this is sort of a double-edged sword for me because I do think he should be able to dominate. But how long, Kevin, does he need to actually dominate for? And also keep in mind the Colts, if they win, will head into the playoffs. So it's not one of those games where it's like, hey, do we rest him or do we play him? No, you have to win here. And the same way I take a look at the Tennessee Titans go down to play the Texans, and they should have an easy victory. Well, Vrabel can get into their heads and say, did you see the Chargers beat this football team? Chargers came in, thought they would have an easy win, and they beat the Chargers. The same thing you can do now with the Colts who go down to Jacksonville for an easy win. Hey, do you remember when Jacksonville beat the Buffalo Bills at home 9-6? Let's not let this happen here. And also, taking a look at what Jonathan Taylor does, go back to November 4th versus the Jets. .172 on the ground. After that, 116 against the Jaguars. 185, 83. Yeah, he stunk, Kevin, in this one against the Buccaneers, an elite rushing defense. Only 83 yards, good for 5.2 yards per carry here. Then he gets back against the Texans. .43, Patriots, .70. Cardinals, 108, Raiders, 108. So to make a long story short in this process here, it's interesting, too, because I believe the FanDuel Sportsbook last week had a 108.5 price on Jonathan Taylor, and he hits 108 even. He's going for a big number in this game, and I think he's going to get it quickly here. So case in point here, if I do think that the Colts win easy, Taylor probably won't get a lot of carries in the fourth quarter, but I have a vision in this game, Kevin, early and often here. Can't you see it? Second drive of the game, second and 10 on their own 25, handoff and a 75-yard touchdown run. It's coming this week. So if we try to preface this, I want to take a look at Jonathan Taylor's rushing yards. If you give me, Kevin, I'm going to set the line, 110.5 or less, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor this week.
So I want to add some extra context here to Jonathan Taylor. Because, Donna, you always try and figure out what are the benchmarks, right, that a guy would like to hit. He is 266 yards away from 2,000. Now, you might say that is ridiculous. That is laughable. He obviously was not be running for 266 yards. What if I told you, Donnie, that that was only 13 more yards than his career high? A career high set? Last year, in the final game of the regular season against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 253 last year he put up on this team. And you're so right. If by chance he walks out of that first quarter with 80 rushing yards, there's going to be some people looking around and say, you know what, man? It is what it is. Go get 2K. Because you know, Donnie, how important it is for a running back to enter that 2,000-yard club.
No, it actually, you're exactly correct here. And you're right in the same instance here because there's a couple things working against you and working for you. Working against you, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's welcome in the radio audience, Sirius XM channel 159. Driving around your car out there listening to us on the early line, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. You just felt comforted, right? It's Wednesday. ERS got you covered here because we are going over Jonathan Taylor. So while we get welcomed in, Kevin, you're also going to get a winner here on a prop bet as well. Jonathan Taylor is going to be able to execute this. And as I said, working against you and working for you here, the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't very good. I doubt they score that much. But at the same time, their defense is bad and they already quit. And you are so right. that deep run in the first quarter. Because if it's at the half, Kevin, they have a 2-touchdown lead. Jonathan Taylor has 37 yards on the ground. You say, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. We'll give you a couple more carries in the third quarter and shut it down. But you are not going to shut down greatness where he takes one deep to the house in the first quarter. You're right. History is on his side. It's the same way about having a no-hitter in baseball. Yay, we can't let you go over 100 pitches. It's the eighth inning. You're about to throw your 100th pitch. You're staying out there. Why? Because it's historic for you, the baseball team, and Major League Baseball. The same thing in the NFL. 2,000 is a massive number. If he has a legitimate chance to get it, you owe it to the player to let him go get it.
When I looked at it, I couldn't believe that because I'm like, 266, 253 last year, final game of the season against the Jags. It's not, and again, the thing is with what the number is going to be listed at, it's not like they're not going to post it at 260 and a half, right? If he has a chance to get it, you're going to fly over that 110 and a half that Donnie mentions. Look, I want to bring up one number that I'm really interested in, and I'm sure Donnie will be as well. It's going to be the Gardner Minshew passing touchdown prop. We talked about it on the early lines breakdown yesterday of Cowboys-Eagles here. I think the 42.5 is just far too low of a total. I expect a shootout here unless all of a sudden the Cowboys say, just kidding, it's the Cooper Rush game. We don't care about trying to be a 3 seed or a 2 seed and avoid the NFC West division winner here. Gardner Minshew is going to fire away. You know, Donnie, Gardner Minshew goes into Nick Sirianni, hey man, how do I become the starter? He's going to go out there, backups or not, and let this thing rip and throw multiple touchdown passes, even in garbage time. I think that's legitimate, Donnie.
No, it is legitimate here, and you're right. It's just all along as how long are the Dallas Cowboys starters going to play? Because if you got backups for 3 quarters, Minshew, he's going to have a day.
Yeah, it'll be really, really fun to see where they list those numbers. Don and I each have another target player prop to give you. We'll also set up some interesting college basketball games. That's all next right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Keep moving here on the early line, talking through some target player props here. Talked about some running backs, right? We talked a little Gardner Minshew as well. DRS, you have a running back slash quarterback slash tight end slash wide receiver, punt returner, kick, whatever the Saints qualify this guy as. What are you looking at here going in to week 18?
I mean, heck, we saw a wide receiver last night throw 3 touchdown passes in his first
start.
So why not? Yeah, exactly. Let's flip it over to the NFL and try to run that same thing back. But having said that, I'm going to go with Taysom Hill in this. And, you know, sometimes you might look and say, well, what do you actually want out of Taysom Hill? Rushing touchdown makes a lot of sense. Maybe his passing yards because going against Atlanta. I'm going to keep it on the ground here. And the reason being, Kevin, if we take a look on the rotation, 467, 468. This game, it's Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons out of the playoffs. Not much to play for here. New Orleans, a lot to play for here. They opened up at a 3.5-point line here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, climbed to a 4.5. They should win this game. And also, we take a look at the total, which opened up at 42, now down to 40.5. The reason why I'm bringing this up here is because there's no style points needed here for New Orleans in this game. They just have to win the game. What does Taysom Hill do really well, Kevin? It's run the football. It's run the wildcat. It's, you know, if the pass isn't there, I'm going to run the football. And certainly, not an electric passer to say the least. He did have a high of 264 passing against the Dallas Cowboys, but outside of that, 175, 154, 222. So I'm not looking from a passing perspective. I'm looking for a rushing perspective out of Taysom Hill. If I think the game is going to be close, I think they're going to keep it on the ground. And look at the 4 starts here by Taysom Hill that he's had. 101 yards versus the Dallas Cowboys. 11 carries, 73 yards versus the Jets. 11 carries, 33 yards versus Tampa Bay. 12 carries, 45 yards versus Carolina. So you say to yourself, okay, it's getting progressively worse, seemingly, right? 101 yards to 73 to 33 to 45. But I'm looking at this saying, if I know out of Taysom Hill, he's going to get double-digit carries against the Atlanta Falcons defense in a close game, he should be able to go over his rushing prop total. So if I'm looking from a rushing prop perspective here, if you're going to price this, not like Lamar Jackson at 58.5, then I say, you know what? That might be a little bit tough. But I'm looking at that target price point here for Taysom Hill. If I can get 50 or lower, I really like the rushing prop here for Taysom Hill in this game. I think it'll be priced right around that scenario. So maybe even more willing to go into the 50s, but I would love it if I can get 50 or less, Kevin. I'm going to take Taysom Hill's rushing prop to the over. I think they win this game in a close battle, and they keep it on the ground and don't make mistakes. And I think that bodes well here for Taysom Hill's rushing prop numbers, Kevin.
It makes all the sense in the world. At the end of the day, the Saints are going to want to, I think, keep this a little bit conservative, right? He can't turn the football over. That's what it's going to be about here. And I think it makes all the sense in the world. And I will say, though, when we're talking about turning the football over, when I look towards a target player prop here, it's somewhat a joke, but it's somewhat very, very serious. Big Ben's last ever game. I need to know what the interception number is going to be. We did this once before with Carson Wentz, where we were desperate to see what they would hang his interception number at against the Buffalo Bills. He actually didn't throw a pick. They won the game by a zillion. Big Ben's final game, though, Donnie, against the Baltimore Ravens. He has played 26 games against the Baltimore Ravens. He has thrown 24 career interceptions against the Baltimore Ravens. And really, Donnie, why I think that, like, legitimate edge here. If what we saw in that final game in Pittsburgh is any indication, he's throwing the ball 50 times here against Baltimore. Now, it's hard to pick a guy off who only throws it 2 yards down the field, but Donnie, I'll take my chances that one of Big Ben's 40 to 50 attempts will find a Baltimore Raven.
I think it's certainly valid here. And it's kind of funny because when we pick these up, yours are usually in before mine. So I said, all right, you look at the screen. The first thing that popped out to me was the Pittsburgh Steelers game. And it was actually looking at a Big Ben under prop on his passing yards. Because you're right. What do you expect out of this game here? Hard fought. Now, look, again, the Steelers and the Ravens, both with a chance to get into the playoffs. This is de facto a playoff game for two heated rivals that know each other so well. Let's throw in here, Kevin, that you're going to be playing in the month of January, 32 degrees with light rain in the forecast and winds over 10 miles an hour. We expect this to be a hard-fought game as is. A lower scoring, at least for me, depending on who's going to be the quarterback, Lamar Jackson or Huntley, probably leaning more towards Huntley even more at this point. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Big Ben's going to have a big game as is, but you're right. Light rain here. Big Ben wears those gloves, throwing in the flat, tip ball, interception. It's definitely going to happen. I don't think Big Ben even throws. Let's just say if he has a, you know, touchdown prop of 1.5, I would go to the under. His passing yards prop, whatever it is, I would go to the under. And it all makes sense as well. If he's going to throw the football 40 plus times in a light drizzle and rain, he's going to get intercepted. No question about it.
Yeah, I guess you should add, right, his pass attempts prop as a target player prop here, because they're going to let him throw the ball a million times, evidently, as he just leaves on his sword. So let it go. Big Ben, over a million pass attempts there. It's so funny, though, that there's no, like, yes, passing yards under makes all 46 attempts for 123 yards. Truly one of the wildest stat lines we've ever seen. A unique stat line. A one-of-one stat line truly there from Big Ben on Monday Night Football. Let's make our transition, Donnie, over to the college basketball landscape. Number of ranked teams in action, but only one spot here offers us ranked versus ranked, and is the Iowa State Cyclones against the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Iowa State's really interesting, DRS, because this feels like a team that a lot of people are very hesitant to believe in. They were not supposed to be the number 11 team in the country, and I understand that. But then they played Iowa and beat them by 20 points as a 5-point dog. We had already seen them beat Memphis by a bunch, an upset over Creighton. But maybe, Donnie, I would have thought at least the turning point would be them playing the Baylor Bears and competing throughout that game and only losing by 5. Another covering effort for the Iowa State Cyclones. And yet I can't help but look at them at home against Texas Tech and think we're seeing another Texas Tech line. Your thoughts on a ranked versus ranked Big 12 matchup?
Yeah, good matchup tonight. A couple quick notes here on this. You know, Texas Tech lost only their only true road game of the year to Providence. Because keep in mind here, guys, a lot of what we talk about the silly season, the neutral site games, semi-away games. You know, if you're a Power 5 conference team like Iowa State and Texas Tech, you play a lot of home games here. So not a lot of true road games to start the season. They lost their only one. If we take a look at Iowa State, and again, you're right, unbeaten until their last game versus Baylor. No shame in having a close, hard-fought loss to one of the best teams in the country. But if you take a look at the styles of this, both of these teams, not great tempo. tempo teams. And also, Kevin, if we look from, again, a defensive perspective, we looked last night, LSU, Kentucky. What stuck out? LSU's really good on defense. How about them clamping down late in the second half to get that victory? A lot more of the same here in this one. Texas Tech comes in, top 10 defense in the country. How about Iowa State? The same exact thing, a top 10 defense in the country. How you win and lose a lot of the times in college basketball, Kevin, is how you make the three-point shot and how you defend it. Iowa State against the three, only giving up 25% from beyond the arc. That's top five in the country. Texas Tech is in the top 100, so not as good here. But also, take a look, when you're trying to cover totals and two teams that play good defense, you really have to maximize your opportunities once you get to the free throw line. If we look at Iowa State on defense, 290th in the country at fouling. You take a look at Texas Tech, 231st. So these are teams that play defense, play hard-nosed defense, will be willing to foul you. But take a look at Texas Tech from a free throw shooting perspective here, Kevin. 67% as a team, 265th in the country here. That could be a detriment to a team that plays good defense against you and you don't make your free throws if they foul. We'll be looking at an under, even though it's a low total in this one. All right, so, I mean, taking a look at some other stuff here with Texas Tech and Iowa State. Just the way it actually matches up and goes through, because you're looking at game pace and style of pace. And also, tough place to play also in the Hilton Coliseum, you know, known for that Hilton magic, as they like to say. It's a pretty good matchup as we take a look overall. And if we keep on sliding it down, there's a lot more college basketball to go over, which will certainly hit in the next segment. But one of those games that's popping up is the Villanova Wildcats as they take on Creighton here. We're going to preview that game coming up next. A Big East battle, and maybe Villanova looking for a little revenge against Creighton. Some COVID issues popping up for the Villanova Wildcats, but we'll get to that next. So make sure you stick with us right here on the Early Line. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Wallace, we got you covered.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. Just wanted to close up with a thought on the Iowa State Texas Tech game. Iowa State reminds me a little bit of the Cavs, to make an NBA comparison there, where there was kind of this, like, the Cavs can't be really doing this. This can't be for real. And that's how they ripped off, you know, 13, 14 straight consecutive covers here. Iowa State, people, they don't think they're better than Texas Tech, despite the fact that Iowa State has been better than Texas Tech. And if you go through the Red Raiders' resume here, right, they were a favorite against Providence and lose that basketball game. They were a 10-point dog to the Zags, lose, no cover. Really, the only thing Texas Tech has to hang on to here, aside from their victories as a 30-point favorite, was a neutral site overtime win against Tennessee in a game where the Volunteers basically couldn't make any of their wide-open threes in the basketball game. Look, a win is a win. I understand that. But Iowa State has the better resume here. So we'll see if Texas Tech gets the job done. But this just might be another spot where the books and a lot of the sharp bettors and the algorithms and models refuse to believe the Cyclones, and you're continuing to get value on a team, again, that has been impressive all year long. Spinning it forward to a couple of other games throughout the different Power 5 conferences here, Donnie. I heard you mention the Big East matchup between Villanova and Creighton. And this is, of course, really interesting, right? Right? You have the Wildcats as a double-digit favorite here. But the problem for Villanova, we saw these teams play. And it was a 20-point victory for the Blue Jays, which was a stunning result. A big part of the reason that Nova has fallen themselves, you know, outside of the top 15 in that AP top 25. Thoughts on tonight's rematch?
Yeah, two very good offensive teams here, efficiency-wise, Kevin, but also take a look at two pretty good defenses as well, and you hit the nail on the head. Creighton has already beat this team and beat them fairly soundly. Now, if we take a look at some of the notes coming in this game, Creighton, as we talk about, like, the true road games, right, which most of these Power 5 conference teams, or, you know, the Big East is a big conference, a lot of them play at home, but how about Creighton 2-0 in true road games this year, beating Nebraska and Marquette? So it's not as if you went on the road and beat, like, some lower-level competition. You're beating decent ball clubs here, and again, also beating the Villanova Wildcats, but Nova also 3-0 here at the Pavilion. Key indicator in this game too, Kevin, slower tempos for both teams here. So we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a double-digit favorite at -10.5 in a slower tempo might be a little bit harder to get. Also keep in mind the over-under in this game is at a 132. Generally, I would lean towards the under here. Now let's take a look at what Creighton does well and what doesn't do well. Certainly an efficient team on offense, but take a look at this. Three-point shooting, Kevin, 251st in the nation, only making 31% of their three-point shots. Flip that over to Villanova. They make approximately 35% of their three-point shots in the top 100 in the country. Now, the one thing that you have an advantage on the Creighton defense, Kevin, they are sensational inside the arc. Top 15 in the country at defending that. But again, in these games, we have a low total here. Sometimes it matters. Do these teams foul and put you on the free throw line? Both of these defenses, Villanova, top 40 in the country at not fouling. How about Creighton, Kevin? Top 5 in the country at not fouling. So you will have to make your shots here, but also keep taking a look at some of these games which come down to the end, and you're talking about a double-digit margin. Those 7, 8, 9s, and 10s that get worked over in the double bonus and the 1-1s at the end of the game. Creighton, 69% as a team. Villanova, stellar, 77%. So if this game late and Villanova has a 7 or 8 point lead, they should be able to make the free throws to knock it down. But I have to say this, you know, going over the game slower tempo, Creighton's already won. Why not take the double digits here? But as we like to say, Kevin, also, there's a reason why this line sits at 10.5.
It certainly is. You wonder how many people are going to say revenge angle. Nova absolutely rolls this team. But the thing is, Donnie, we've seen Creighton do this all year long. They were a dog against Villanova, won the basketball game. They've been a dog 5 times this year. They've won 4 of the 5 games, obviously meaning that they've covered in all of the games that they've won as an underdog here. It's a difficult spot to me to justify laying such a big number on Villanova because of what we have seen from Creighton this year. One more game I want to bring up, Donnie, in the SEC. This is, it's a classic college basketball line. Got lines like this, I almost describe as you don't have to handicap the game. The odds makers have done it for you. Number 15 in the country, Alabama, is on the road against an unranked Florida Gators team, and the Gators are a favorite. I remember when I was first starting to, you know, do all this betting stuff here, right? I'm like, man, that don't really make any sense there. And every single time I thought you would play Bama money line, you would lose on the Alabama money line here. You start to learn that lesson, Donnie. We've seen it play out so many times, but is it now that easy to just be laying the 2 with the Florida Gators here? How do these two teams match up in the SEC?
It should be a fun one here. We talked about some of these games slower tempo, Kevin. This one certainly isn't going to have. And also, Bama, only one true road game on the season. If you remember back, they lost to Memphis 92-78. And UF, Florida, only has one loss at home. But get this. You figure that loss would come to like a Kentucky or a high-level team. Texas Southern beat them 69-54 at home. But take a look at these two teams. You know, Florida's defense, top 30 in the country. Alabama, top 50. But as I said, you are going to get tempo. But also, you get tempo from Alabama and ultra efficiency here, Kevin. They do shoot a ton of three-point shots. Almost 50% of their shots come from three-point range. But here's the key indicator that I like here. Florida's defense, Kevin, top 10 in the country at not allowing you to shoot three-point shots. So something has to give here. But also, when you take a look at the Alabama Crimson Tide and how they like to get down on offense here, if the three ball is not going in, Kevin, take a look at their two-point shooting number here. Inside the arc, top 5 in the country shooting close to 60%. So the threes aren't going down and they're used to settling for 2, they can certainly make that happen here. But as I said again, when you're looking at these close environments here, sometimes it comes down to maybe just the home team and how the away team shoots free throws. Take a look at the Alabama Crimson Tide, 260th in the country at 67.5% from the free throw line. Slightly better is Florida at 72% here. I think we get good tempo, a fun game to watch, the possibility of a total as well here. I'll go with the over in this game because if we're not getting a lot of fouls here and the three balls are going down, should be a fun one to watch here. But the interesting matchup for me again, Kevin, is how Alabama volume from three-point shot goes against Florida from chasing you off of the three-point line.
And I think, Donnie, it's the perfect game for live betting as well. We saw last night, now it was ranked, but still LSU lower in that or higher in that AP top 25, whatever the appropriate way to phrase that would be, the lesser ranked of the two teams against the Kentucky Wildcats there, trailing in that game. The game looked over. Look, Kentucky was in control, But that home court advantage can matter. Those late runs can matter. And at one point, they were on a 20-2 run over a 10-minute window against Kentucky there. The ability in college basketball to watch the ebbs and flows, to all of a sudden be able to see the crowd's impact on a game, to me, is very, very real, Donnie, where maybe Alabama, and the thing about Alabama is they're very difficult. Spots can be spots there. They come out, they make their, you know, first 10 of their 15 threes, all right, well, the game's over, right? But if Florida can find their momentum and find their footing, the live markets can always work in your favor in a game between Florida and Alabama. I want to make our transition over to the NBA. There's a couple of other spots where you'll see some ranked teams in action tonight. I know Michigan State playing in you know, some Big Ten action against Nebraska here. But I want to look at last night's NBA slate quickly. And then we'll, of course, preview tonight's games. We're going to have Kyrie Irving's return for the Brooklyn Nets. Luka Doncic against Steph Curry. We'll get to all of that. But I'm wondering, Don, if there was anything from last night's NBA board that jumped off of the page to you. Because there was one spot that I really want to bring home just one more time here. And it's this game between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Because the Memphis Grizzlies win, again, second leg of a back-to-back. An underdog, no problem. Ja Morant does a great job for the people in a minute and 30 stretch to end that game, scoring 8 points to get him to 26 total and cash a FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost. And shout out JY Scouting Report, a player performance double for 25 points and a Memphis win, boosted up to plus 280. And all of that said about Memphis, Donnie, is wonderful. But Cleveland, the ATS Kings of the NBA, coverless since the Ricky Rubio injury. We thought that you can't be perfect against the number. It is impossible. Water finds its level when it comes to those trends, overs, unders, and sides. But this, Donnie, has not happened by circumstance or by luck, by chance. There's a very easy thing to point to, this Ricky Rubio injury for Cleveland. We wondered, hey, man, this team was flipping to almost a minus 200 favorite to make the postseason in the Eastern Conference. And as we watched this trickle out, I wonder if the Cavs perhaps find themselves in more of a lost year, and maybe sellers and Kevin Love traders when we get to the deadline.
Yeah, doesn't cream usually rise to the top here? In an NFL season, you have 16, 17 games, college football a little bit less. You can ride that wave for a little bit, but sooner or later it catches up to you in an 82-game season, like in the NBA, because Cleveland did catch a lot of us by surprise. Like, man, look how good this team is playing. Maybe they are serious as a playoff contender, but now you're seeing them sort of drop back, and could it be just Ricky Rubio's injury that sets them on that catapult and that downward spiral? And then you try to go out and say, okay, we're going to trade for Rajon Rondo, who I think played, you know, with, you know, Karl Malone and, you know, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. Seems like he's been around the league so long here. I don't know how much of an effect that's going to have. But also, let's credit the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday, Kevin. This is the sign of the maturation process of a pretty good young basketball team. You go in and upset Brooklyn, like, hey, that's a big win. Woo! We're going to fly to Cleveland. No shame if we have it back-to-back and we don't play well against Cleveland and lose that game. They didn't. And also, how about the superstar Ja Morant down the stretch? We're looking and going, oh, man, 13 points at the break, only, what, 15 or 16 by the fourth quarter starts. He's not going to hit that. And all of a sudden, not only did he need to hit that, they needed to win that game by him hitting all those shots down the stretch. Big-time win. And as I said, the maturation process of the Grizzlies is underway. 12-6, Kevin, now on the road this year. Good stuff.
Yeah, they've been very, very impressive. Taylor Jenkins, certainly in the thick of that Coach of the Year race in the NBA. We'll get you your preview in the next segment. It gives me enough time to mention LeBron. The most 30-point games in the entire NBA. He has scored 30 or more in 8 of his last 9 games. The points prop cashing over in all of those 8 games where he has scored 30-plus. Perhaps the best regular season run of his Los Angeles Laker career, and just an incredible stretch that has put the Lakers back up above 500. Kyrie's back. We'll break that down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do it. Oh, man. I can't believe this is happening. Kyrie's back. I think. Part of me feels like that's still not going to play out, and he's somehow not going to be back. The protocols. Pacers with the with the most insane back-to-back, by the way. Like, playing the Nets and the Knicks on back-to-backs, very common. Being in New York for one of the games and in Indiana for another makes no sense. A 7.5-point line for Brooklyn. No props listed, of course. Donnie, your thoughts, projections, and expectations for Kyrie Irving's first game of the season.
Shoo! Just looking at the anticipated starting lineup for once now for the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving, point guard. James Harden, DeAndre Bembry, Kevin Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, and you send Patty Mills back to the bench here. This should be exciting stuff to watch and see it play out because we're anticipating Kyrie Irving coming up. But what is the anticipation process like? Is it, oh my goodness, his usage rate is going to be off the charts? Keep in mind, he hasn't played this entire season. So him getting a full workload is going to be interesting to say the least. But also keep in mind, this is the NBA. Typically, a guy who has not played all season long would not be in the starting lineup. But it's a superstar-run league. He certainly is going to be in the starting lineup tonight as he gets back under. But you're right. You're taking a look now at the Brooklyn Nets here coming in, playing the Indiana Pacers back-to-back. Is it a Kiefer Sykes type of night tonight, Kevin? Does he drop another 4 3-pointers to keep them in the ballgame? I got to tell you at this point here, this game has all the makings of, you know, center stage. You have to watch this. Is it a letdown performance by the Nets because we're expecting so much from them with Kyrie Irving? Or is it one of those games, Kevin, where the Nets go out there, drop 128 points in a blowout victory, and people go, this is why we think the Brooklyn Nets are going to win the championship because the big three is back.
Man, it has – this is the one thing I know. We'll talk about it tomorrow, right? That's for sure. Whatever this looks like with Kyrie coming back. But for me, one of the things you've heard a lot of people say, somewhat jokingly, somewhat serious, man, and that's going to be the only team that are bigger favorites on the road than at home? Well, that should never be the case. For me, Donnie, you want to start the position early? I think I'd rather fade the Kyrie return games than be laying bigger numbers on the Kyrie return games. I'd rather take 7.5 points with the Indiana Pacers. Their last couple of outings as a on the second leg of a back-to-back, a 9-point win against the Detroit Pistons, depends when you got the number, if that covered. A loss to the Timberwolves, but a cover on that point spread. A win and a cover against the New Orleans Pelicans. When you just continue to go through it, right? They beat the Utah Jazz on the road on the second leg of a back-to-back here. They actually are a team that have been able to step up under these circumstances. I will say from Kyrie specifically, if I were looking to back any kind of Kyrie numbers, I feel like Donnie would be the 3-point shots. I think you've got a chance at that number being 1.5 for Kyrie Irving. I just think everything else about it feels very difficult to nail down on Kyrie. Minutes, workload, pass first, shoot first. But just give me some Kyrie off the ball. Because, Donnie, last year, he averaged a touch under 3 made threes per game. If you can get a 1.5 mark there, Donnie, at some palatable juice, that's how I would look. If you're looking at back Kyrie tonight, that would likely be the road.
No, it certainly should be the road here. And also, when you take a look, you know, the FanDuel Sportsbook trying to, you know, get us hype here for a Wednesday night, you need to include something with the big three tonight. How about something like, you know, Kevin, between the three of them, 60-plus points at, like, you know, a nice little price there, plus 120, plus 125 to have some juice there, even higher, like each three of these guys to score at least, you know, 20 points in the game tonight, which would be hard to do because I don't know how much Kyrie Irving is going to play. But as we talked about, you know, rushing props here in the NFL and Jonathan Taylor, let me tell you something here. Kyrie Irving opens this ball game out and drops 2 threes right off the bat. He is going to be in for a spectacular, not like, hey, you made a couple threes, sit down after 7 or 8 minutes. This game could get fun early, but I would love a little bit more juice on this if you could put an odds boost that somehow factors in the big three for the Brooklyn Nets as they go up against the Indiana Pacers tonight.
All of them that make 2 threes, point numbers, combos, as Donnie mentioned. Yeah. Or if you want to do something really funny, do you like them to combine for 120 points, rebounds, and assists? Well, I can't do all this math, and Donnie just would not bet it. Yeah, that would be some tremendous action there overall. Look, another big game here on the funny thing is, right, Donnie, as much as ESPN, like, oh, Lucas Steph, you know they're furious that they don't have the Kyrie return game dialed up here, but certainly not a bad consolation here. Golden State travels to Dallas here. You have the Dubs right now as a 6.5-point favorite. Total checks in at 213. I'll just start this off right away, Donnie. Everybody knows the Golden State Warriors, the best under team in the NBA. Well, the one team that would give them a run for their money, the Dallas Mavericks. And the Dallas Mavericks not only are a great under team overall, but at home, Donnie, 12-4-1 to the under. They have played under in four consecutive games leading into this matchup here with the Golden State Warriors. I see Steph Curry. Yeah. I see, you know, Luka Doncic. It's hard, though, still to expect them to go over the number.
Now, Kev, I thought you were done there, so I was going to cut you off real quickly here like you tried to do, even though they cut your mic off, which I appreciate here. So let the superstar speak here for a little bit. Speaking about superstars here, Steph Curry and Luka Doncic taking the court tonight. This is going to be an interesting game to match up because so many people just ride that wave of Steph Curry and how well he's been playing. A little bit of a shooting slump in his previous game, and also now looking behind them in the rearview mirror, Kevin, are the Phoenix Suns coming up quickly here. But let's take a look at what we're getting out of the Golden State Warriors tonight and also moving forward. Do I think the Golden State Warriors win this game? I do. They're the better overall team. If Steph Curry just returns back to normal tonight and hits his 5 to 6 three-point shots, they should be able to get this down. But also, Kevin, as you look on the horizon here, right, you are getting this weekend back Klay Thompson, who's supposed to make his comeback this weekend, which seemingly he hasn't played like in 2 full years. If he comes back into the flow here, Golden State once again turns into must-see TV, but I do think they pick up this victory before he gets back on the court. I do think they're the better overall team. And you're right. When you take a look at an over-under, which opened up around that 213 level, now sitting around 211 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, it seems like it should be an easy over with Golden State. It's not certainly the case here. Maybe looking at an under in this game, but I do think Golden State Warriors play a decent game here and were able to win and get the cover here versus the Mavericks.
Doncic props are not listed just yet, but I think the rebounds and assist markets for him, which we've seen him hit in both games since he's returned from his layoff that was injury plus the COVID list, 19 rebounds and assists against Oklahoma City, and then 27 rebounds and assists against the Denver Nuggets there. Those numbers have been around 15.5, 16.5. I think there's plenty of meat in that bone there. As Luka at home, big matchup, he should be buying into everything that comes with that. There's one game I really want to talk about. It doesn't jump off the page probably to a lot of people, but it does for me. And it is the Sacramento Kings against the Atlanta Hawks. The Sacramento Kings on the second leg of a back-to-back. We've talked about their game against the Los Angeles Lakers last night. Host Trae Young and the Hawks. And the Kings are a one-point favorite at home. Atlanta, Donnie, just played a game in Portland against Damian Lillard. No. CJ McCollum. No. Just Anthony Simons. And gave up 136 points and found a way to lose a game where Trae Young scored 56 points, 14 assists, and was a plus 12 in almost 40 minutes of action. I look at this game and I go, how in the world could the Hawks lose this game? The Hawks, though, are one of the two worst ATS teams in the entire NBA. It's actually the Hawks and the Portland Trail Blazers who sit at the bottom of that barrel here. Sacramento, though, on the second leg of a back-to-back. It's surprising to see where this number is, but what an indictment of where this Atlanta team is right now.
You're right, and let's take a look at Trae Young last 10 games, which actually, you know, split in the middle there was 3 games in the COVID protocols. 25 points, 29, 31, 41, 28, and 34. 3 games off like he never left after that, Kevin. 29, 26, 35, and 56. And how many games even that we've seen over the year, like, hey, you know, Trae Young usually is going to fire from the logo, not taking as many three-point shots, but look at the last 2 games, Kevin. 5 of 12 and 7 of 12. He's got 24 combined three-point attempts over his past 2 games. The usage rate is high. Sometimes when you have these guys on these hot streaks here saying, hey, look, I'm filling it up from three-point range. I'm doing whatever I want out here. 56 points in a game that you didn't even win, and you're right, taking on Portland without their two big guns here. I expect a bounce-back performance by Atlanta, but even more so, Kevin, looking more towards the props of Trae Young as opposed to them winning or even a game going over the total. When you are red hot, you ride that streak out, and there's going to be a lot of heat checks tonight for my guy Trae Young. Let's take a look at his points props and maybe points props, you know, assist, go to the over, three-point shots to the over tonight. Everything makes sense for me from a Trae Young perspective.
Donnie, that's how superstars work. Donnie is 100% correct. If you think Trae Young's like, man, 56 and a loss, maybe I should pass more, you don't know NBA superstars. Trae's like, oh, I should have shot it 40 times, evidently, instead of the 26, 15 free throws as well in that game here. And look, I think the over right now, 229 and a half. Are you worried maybe Sacramento tired legs on the second leg of a back-to-back? Quell those concerns again with this Hawks defense. Last four games, all overs, they've allowed 130, 131, 118, and 136. I mean, my goodness, man, there is just no defense to be had for an Atlanta team that right now does not have Nate McMillan on the sideline and is still missing some very, very key contributors here. Donnie, any of these other games jumping off the board for you? There's, you know what? I would ask, is it the Donnie Wright side bowl tonight? Magic Sixers here on the early slate. Any George's Niang player props going to get listed for you?
I mean, if they look, and again, the FanDuel Sportsbook, we tend to think that you guys watch and listen tonight. But, you know, I love going in game where, you know, sometimes I'm trying to take George's Niang. Maybe it doesn't make a 3-point in the first half. Give me the over 1.5. I could get down on that. I'd really like it. But boy, oh boy, if you could just open up the game tonight, just hang a regular George's Niang where I can include him in a 3-point player prop, I would love that. But I have to say, I love that game, but also, K-Dub, let's take a look at 8 o'clock tonight. I mean, this is the perfect. So I do have the Sixers, my favorite NBA team to root for. The Orlando Magic and the young kids, love to line them up. But 8 o'clock tonight, Fiserv Forum, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Raptors and the Bucks tonight. Fred VanVleet, come on now, sign me up. Gary Trent Jr., and sign me up with 5 or 6 of the Bucks from 3-point range tonight, Kevin. What? Lap of luxury. And when you say a guy who's probably going to have a solo show, I don't know what the deal is tonight, but I think I'm probably going solo tonight. Give me this lineup in the NBA. I might go bankrupt tonight rooting on these props, but it is what it is. K-Dubs at wrestling. I'm holding down the fort here betting the NBA. It's a great Wednesday night.
Look, I won't be there. I'll be at AEW. If the people want, I give you a 2.5-minute breakdown right now. That card, I mean, it looks pretty good. Hangman Danielson, too. I know the people are excited, the first ever TBS champion. But I will add this quickly here. I have every expectation that the Toronto Raptors go out there and cover a number against the Milwaukee Bucks. I think you're going to see a lot of people load up on Milwaukee after that. Let's call it what it is. An embarrassing loss as a 17-point home favorite against the worst team in the NBA, the Detroit Pistons there. It snapped a 6-game win streak for the Milwaukee Bucks, and people are going to say, oh, we got to go out there. We got to lay a number. No, you don't. Milwaukee has only covered 6 of their 16 games at home this year as a favorite. The Toronto Raptors have actually now gone and covered 8 of their last 9 games. They've still continued to actually be a good bet on the road this season. That 7.5 number is one that I think you take with a Toronto Raptors team, Donnie, that's back to 500, is just absolutely prepared to hit a team win total to the over.
Yeah, there you go. Cheer it on. Every win by them makes sense. They played really well last night. Again, Fred VanVleet just knocking threes down. What an amazing story overall from him going to college into the pros, working his way up to a monster contract, and then proving that he is worthy, Kevin, of that monster contract. Looking forward to tonight. Huge NBA slate to get you ready for. It's Wednesday hump day. Yes, sir.
Now, before you close it out, though, Donnie Rideside will close it out with the listen up. Washington football team slander, absolutely delicious. You keep it right here on Sports Grid on this Wednesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Alright, last segment of the day right here for the early line on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Rightside, and Kevin Walsh, as always, setting the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after. But we are going to talk some Washington football team, people. Listen up. Sometimes a short 2-minute segment isn't nearly enough to talk about the woes of the Washington football team. As you've seen, you know, in the previous couple years here, changing the name from the Redskins over to the football team, because they weren't smart enough to actually come up with a name or moniker here as a nickname for them. So now they announced the Washington Football Team on February the 2nd, Groundhog's Day, they are actually going to name their football team. It's a painstaking effort, apparently, over the past 2 years. And let's take a look at some of the names that are on the list now. The Red Tails, the Red Wolves, the Renegades, the President's Sentinels, Lincoln's Aviators, and the Generals. Quite frankly, who cares what their name is as long as they just pick a name so we'd have to line it up and say the Philadelphia Eagles are playing the Washington Football Team, or even better, the Eagles versus the football team. Get out of town. You got to change that as soon as possible. Hopefully on February it does change. But also keep in mind here, enough of all these where the football team isn't a name. In betting odds currently, it's plus 250 for the name to actually be the football team once again. You've got to be kidding me here. If anything that we've seen over this franchise that Daniel Snyder's owned since the 1990s, it's certainly been a lot of failure here. And it looks like picking a team name, which should be so easy and leaving it up to the fans, the name they picked, they basically came out on their Twitter channel and told you, we're not picking that name. There's no way we could get around some copyright of some guy who has the name Red Wolves. Another notch here for the horrible concept of the Washington football team and what they're bringing to the table. And let's not even get into it where their stadium is falling around them, where Jalen Hurts almost got crushed by his own Eagles fans. Washington, get it together, even though I don't think you will. You know how he's getting it together today? Ben Stevens in the morning after here on the Sports Grid. Stay tuned.